moment in Liverpool history.
Football is all a matter of opinion.
What a brilliant Everton goal.
Share yours. 0151 4720 967.
The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Away we go.
Yeah, welcome back to the Radio City Legends. The boys are back from another season, bigger and better than ever. Sharpie's here, Aldo's here, but Steve Hobbesall isn't, so I'm Mick Coyle, taking your calls on Radio City and Radio City Talk. On the show tonight, the Reds are on the march with an easy win over a woeful West Ham. The Blues were kept in the departure lounge after Phil Jagielka was sent off in their opener against Wolves, 2-2 the final score. Or was it a red? Call now, 0151 472 0967. We're up and about on Twitter as well. Use the hashtag Radio City Legends. And you can tweet us. We are at Radio City 967. If you want to text, you can do that too. Text 63103. Start with the word City. That'll come through to the studio. The boys are here until 7.30 tonight, and I'm very pleased to say they're back, because otherwise it would be me on their own. Aldo, Sharpie. Steve's not here, by the way.
Good evening, Michael. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Good summer?
Yeah, we did. Nice to be back in the season beginning. You know, it's always good to go off the, a new season. It's usually played in 70, 80 degrees, but let me tell you, Molyneux, on Saturday, it was torrential. Mm-hmm. It was a downpour, so it's good to be back.
Aldo, good to know. Sorry, I said you were bigger than ever, but I didn't mean like that. I mean, the show was bigger than ever.
I put on a few pounds, like, that's to be seen. But, it's great to have it back. The World Cup was a nice mm-hmm. little bit, going away from what we're used to with Liverpool and Everton. It was a good breather in there watching it. It was mm-hmm. better than what I thought. But no, it's nothing better than when the league starts. You know, all the hype and the passion. And I was at the game yesterday. Got back from gym. We played Dortmund Old Boys on Saturday. You know, Old Boys. Well, we were the Old Boys. They were a lot younger than us, and we got beat 3-2. So we got back yesterday, got to the game, and I enjoyed it. Yeah, me and Sharpie just talked. West Ham were poor, you have to say, but we've said it so many times before. You've got to beat what's in front of you. And Liverpool coasted. They played in second half, and just coasted the way through to the 4-0.
I think at the start of the season, you're looking for a sign, aren't you? You're looking for an option. West Ham fans didn't get that at all. Everton's was somewhat curtailed, wasn't it, by that Jagielka sending off Sharpie. Mm. Let's talk about gut reactions first, then let's talk about the analysis of it.
Yeah, well, I was at the game, and when it happened, I thought, no. I looked at it again in the replay and I thought, maybe his foot was a bit high and he caught him in the ankle. But I actually thought he won the ball. The ball actually went away from the Everton goal and went towards, up the other end of the field. But then I'm thinking, right, okay, maybe. But then I hear after the game that he sent him off, for denying a goal-scoring opportunity. Now I'm thinking, how can he do that? Because Jagielka's won the tackle. And I'm thinking, a goal-scoring opportunity, I'm not too sure. I thought when he was sending them off, it was for violent, he'd left the ground and wasn't in control of his actions. But to actually hear afterwards that it was because he denied them a goal-scoring opportunity, which means a one-game ban rather than a three-game ban. So I was surprised when I heard that. But all in all, I thought, Everton did okay. I thought the boy Richarlison took his goals well and was a threat. And I think he's a player that Everton fans will warm to. Mm-hmm. I thought, generally, we were a lot better than what we showed last year. I thought we had more of an attacking intent, and I think there was a lot of passion showed by the players. So, first impressions, because listen, I watched some of the games in pre-season and we were awful, and I was really fearful. We conceded two goals, and again, the two goals we conceded, first one, the free kick coming from the Jagielka incident, okay, you could maybe question the goalkeeper. The second one, the boys got in behind Michael Keane, but again, I was crying out in the day, stop the cross. It was the boy Nevis who's got quality, didn't stop the cross, and we were punished. But overall, I think Evertonians coming back from the game would have been A, disappointed that didn't win the game, but B, quietly happy and quite happy with what we saw. It was a different approach to what we'd seen under Allardyce, so as everybody will tell you, that's a lot better.
Wolves have spent big this summer, but a local lad's still very much at the heart of their plans. Connor Cody's due with us on the programme in the next 20 minutes as well. So,
I looked at him, and if I'm totally honest, I expected more from them. I expected them maybe to get after us more because it's a first home game and we know going to a promoted team crowd behind it's difficult. I thought they'd have put us under more pressure. They didn't, and I thought Everton, coasting is not the word, but I thought Everton were in control until the Jaguar was sent off, and then it was a different game. They had a couple of opportunities, but no, I think Everton more than deserved to come away with a point.
But you were talking about referees straight away, aren't we? Oh. When do we have a show when we don't talk about? Because you have to say, we won 4-0, and this Taylor from Manchester way, the so-called Altrincham fan, whatever he is, oh, yesterday, on some of the things, just... And obviously the cop rose to the bait, started calling him a Manchester, whatever, you know. And he, as soon as he heard that, he went right against Liverpool. He gave us nothing.
He set up West Ham's best chance, didn't he?
He did. There's 1-2 off Onatovic, yeah, and he should have scored, to be honest. Yeah. That would have been right embarrassed. But thankfully, he didn't cost us anyway. But I've got my reservations about him as a referee, and whenever he referees Liverpool, you have to say.
What about that West Ham side? There's nothing about them, was there?
Well, you know, they've bought a lot of players, and it's always going to be difficult for them to gel straight away. You know, it's a jigsaw puzzle Pellegrini's got to put together. You know, and I've seen Jack Wilshere in midfield, Noble in midfield. I'm thinking, will they be able to stop us? No.
No.
And, you know, Kate Cater gives us a different dimension in midfield now. We were very well balanced in midfield, you have to say. So I expected us to win, you know, by a couple of goals, you know, three or so. But four's a bit of a bonus. You know, West Ham had some good players, but they weren't as a team. They were very individualistic, you know, in many ways on Sunday.
I'm surprised, John, as well, the way they set up now. They try to defend the 18-yard line at every opportunity. And I'm thinking, against a team like Liverpool, who've got quick players who can run from deep and get and break the line kind of thing. And at times they were all over the place.
It could have been
6 or 7. It could have been, quite easily.
I mean, to give Mo Salah the freedom of the edge of the box like they did for certainly one of the Liverpool goals in front of the cop, the right back turns around to think who's got him. And nobody's got him. And it's not like you couldn't have researched that. It's not like you couldn't have looked at every single game that Liverpool have played and seen that opportunity, that tactic. And they didn't have any of that. And that's a new manager going in.
Yeah.
11 players who are fighting for their place in a team. On the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And it became an exhibition.
It's not a good sign. But it will take some of the players he's brought in, you know, time to adjust, you know, to the Premiership's different. And the way Liverpool play and press, it's really tough, you have to say, because we do it really well. Klopp's got it off to a tee. So they'll get a lot easier games than playing against Liverpool, West Ham. Can they stay up? I think they will. You know, they've got, and there's some teams in straight away you're looking who's struggling. Yeah. Huddersfield are struggling, you know. But hey, I have to say, going from Liverpool, it was good to see a 4-0 start of the season against anyone in the Premiership. You take that all day.
0151 472 0967. You want to get on the phones tonight? 0151 472 0967. You look at those starting lineups. Liverpool's bench, I think, was more impressive than any other bench that Jurgen Klopp has ever been able to pick from in terms of the opportunities.
Yes.
Sharpie, from the Blues' point of view, those players who signed on transfer deadline day weren't available, but will become available. Jagielka's suspension as well. Yeah. Have you got in mind now, do you reckon Everton fans have got in mind now, how those players will set into a squad or into an 11? Which of those players are we now going to see? Are we going to see a front two? Are we going to see a one with a three behind? Mm. There's that many number 10s that you had at the club last year. That's going to change now. Do formations change with that? When Marco Silva can pick his Everton side, what does that Everton side look like?
I think he can change it. You know, I think he played like a three in midfield with Schneiderlin in there, with Gay in there as well. I think the new boys coming in, you know, obviously they're talking about centre-halves, and right away the fans say, that's the end of Jagielka and that's the end of Baines, you know, lads who are over 30 and approaching the end of their careers. But that's not the case. Silva's already come out and said, listen, if they play and they perform, they stay in, and that's the way it is. Listen, you think that the money they spent on the boy Mina from Barcelona, I will say that I watched him in the World Cup and I wasn't sure. I still think he's a bit Funes Mori-like, you know, where you're thinking, wow, anything can happen here. He can get sent off, he can give away a penalty or whatever. So I'm not sure. So you've got it, as John just said about West Ham, those players have got to come in and adapt and realise what, you know, Premier League football's all about. Whereas Jagielka and Baines know it. The boy Dean has come in as well from Barcelona. Leighton Baines was excellent on Saturday, got forward more, stuck up a good understanding with Richarlison, who got back and helped him as well. So there's little signs that, listen, these guys aren't just going to come in and automatically walk into the team. The signing of the of the boy Bernard, I would have to say. I met him in training. At Finch, I got the shock of my life. I couldn't believe how small he was. And I'm thinking, wow. I came in, honestly, and we're doing something up the other end, and he had an Everton shirt on, but no number on the back. And I honestly thought it was an under-15 kid. I thought, who's the kid we've signed? Mm. And he came running round towards us, and he said, that's a new sign. I went, no. And he's really small, but by all accounts, a good player. But listen, it'll take time. Yeah, but I'll say to you is that on the first showing, and listen, it's a long way to go, and I'm not saying that he's a messiah or anything like that kind of thing, but on the first showing of a competitive game, they showed a lot more spirit away from home. And people might say it was against a promoted team, but they showed a lot more than what they did last year, especially away from home.
Obviously, you're going from one extreme to another, the way Martinez played and then Allardyce played the long ball. Mm. What does this fella bring? Does he play a bit of both? Does he mix it up? Gets the ball down midfield? Because I didn't see none of the
games.
He does.
Well, Johnny, he started off with 4-3-3, and he's three up front, or Walcott, who gives you a bit of pace and directness. The boy Richarlison, who will do that as well, and the boy Tosin. So right away, he's got more of an attacking formation. He's got Gay Schneidlin in there as well to do the kind of dirty work. So he's more attacking minded already. Some of the games in pre-season, we conceded goals for fun, and I honestly thought, wow, this is going to have to change. We conceded two at the weekend, okay, down to 10 men. But I just think with the people coming in, there seems to be more of an idea of going forward. Richarlison, I think, has made a massive difference. Yeah. Theo Walcott was a little bit disappointed for me on Saturday. Didn't really get in the game, but he'd had an injury pre-season, so we can forgive him for that. But certainly it looks a lot more attack-minded than what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about it. And if people want to call up with their own centre-back pairings as well, 01514720967, Kurt Zouma, we've not thrown into the mix there.
Young Mason Holgate came on at the weekend and did well. You did well, so you can't count him out as well.
I think Zouma, I've watched him, when he's at Chelsea, obviously he went on loan last year. He knows what the Premiership's all about, and I kind of like him. Mm. He does switch off a little bit, but big, strong, powerful lad, and he'll do all right for Everton.
I think what you've got now as well, if you look at Zouma and Mina, you've got Keane in there as well, big players. As John says, from set pieces as well. He scored in the World Cup. Everybody knows the threat he poses at set pieces. So there's different types of players coming in now under the new manager. But I think the boy Richarlison, if he can keep fit, he'll be a big player for Everton this year. Yeah.
If you want to get on board, 01514720967, we're getting the calls lined up. Diddy says, although these Reds are going to win every game this season the way they're going, the Champions League final has made our boys stronger. Unreal this weekend, how easy it was.
Yeah, I don't think we particularly played...
What's his name?
Diddy.
Diddy, yeah.
It could be Diddy Amman there, yeah. I don't think we played particularly great. First off, we were probably 7.5 out of 10. Second half, we were 6.5 out of 10. Between 4-0, there's bigger tests ahead, which we'll raise the game to. I think it got easy for us second half, and we took the foot off the gas. But 4-0 is a reflection of when you play like that. It's a good sign, you have to say.
Is it a sigh of relief when sometimes you see maybe the players who were coming back from the World Cup, the injury obviously to Mo Salah, the disappointment with the Champions League final, suddenly there's investment, new players come into the fore, and actually it looks like more of the same. It looks like the Reds are still exactly as they were.
We're going to be hard to beat. We'll be very hard to beat this year. Very similar to last year. I think take away the Chelsea and Man United games at the end of the last season, we went through some games, beating a lot of games. I think that'll be the case this year. They've learned from a few mistakes they've done. What they've got to do, if they are going to get anywhere near Manchester City, which is going to be tough, is the drawn games last year, we have to turn into wins. Some of the drawn
Liverpool go very close, very close. I think the signings they've made, the boy
good sign,
midfield, the goalkeeper as well. Signed important players in big parts of the pitch for Liverpool. Yeah. So I think
the goalkeeper in particular.
Go very close this year.
But again, you watch City yesterday. You see them stroll at Arsenal, and then bring the big guns out, like a bit of a good arrogance, you have to say, yeah, this is what I've got on my export. Have a look at what I'm bringing on now off the bench, you know, De Bruyne and you know, and dear me, they're going to be very, very tough to
take a quick break. The lines are lined up now. The callers are lined up, 0151 472 0967, if you want to join the Radio City Legends tonight on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Red and blue banter and debate.
Call now, 0151 4720 967.
The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yeah, the Legends are back for a new season. Aldo was very much in danger of telling us a story from Kiev then, which me and Sharpie, I think, might have been sacked for even listening to. But we'll get on the phones at 0151 472 0967 as well. We're expecting to speak to Connor Cody as well, who featured for Wolves in that game against Everton, of course, started his career with Liverpool. Let's get a red on the line. It's Matt. Evening, Matt. You're on with Aldo and Sharpie.
Is it me you're on about, guys? Because I'm not a red, I'm a blue.
Oh, that is the worst possible accusation that I could make.
No, it's all right. I think I'll overcome the nausea in about 5 minutes.
Have right, a lie down. Get yourself comfortable. You're speaking with Sharpie.
I wanted to say thanks very much for me being on, and I hope all of you had a wonderful summer, guys. And certainly enjoyed the World Cup as much as I did. I thought it was wonderful.
I was delighted being a good Scotsman. I was absolutely delighted.
There were some games between what I thought were smaller nations that just had me completely in rapture, to be honest. I thought they were wonderful. Anyway, and one thing that did change, and this I'll lead into the Everton bit in a minute. I'm not going to be remiss and plagiarise a lot of what you've said, Sharpie, because you've covered a lot of the points I was going to make. But so I won't do that. What I will do, if it's okay, guys, is I'll lead in by saying that the thing that really changed for me over the summer was I was hugely, hugely circumspect about VAR. Mm-hmm. You know, whilst they still made a couple of mistakes, it changed my mind. I think that can work. Yeah. And I think if VAR had been in use in our game at the weekend, I don't think Jagiel could have been sent off. Mm-hmm. I think they'd have looked at it again and gone, hang on a minute, we're giving me yellow. Mm. And they'd have carried on, and the game would have been completely different. I completely agree with you, Sharpie, that we were in control. Completely in control. I know they're a team that have just come up. Mm. And for a lot of the game, it was like watching Everton under Martinez. Mm. They had all the possession, but were doing nothing with it. Mm. So, you know, to come out at the end with 10 men and to see that, you know, Richarlison, for me, is a revelation. Not because, you know, we scored 2 goals on his debut, but it was a pleasure to see a wide man come back and cover and make tackles and, you know, feed the ball off. And he looked hungry, you know, and it was almost like, to me, he was saying to Bolasie, this is how you play for Evan. And it was a pleasure to watch. It really was. Other thing I wanted to go, I'll let you answer.
No, Matt, you're spot on. I can't disagree with you. I think, good thing was his work rate going back to help Leighton Baines, I thought was excellent. Yeah, go on.
Oh, it was wonderful. The other thing was, I noticed a couple of things last week in the friendly at Valencia. And I hadn't really noticed them before, certainly with Michael Keane. I'll get into him in a minute. The first thing that was noticeable was the backing of the fans for Silva as soon as he stepped out. You know, he stepped out under the big announcement that he was the new manager, and you could feel it straight away. The fans were with him. And we haven't had that for a while. You know, we went into the beginning of last season hopeful and, you know, with all this belief that we were going to do something, and then Ava Price came in, and it went, and there was almost like a malicious feel around the whole ground towards the animosity towards Allardyce. So it was a real breath of fresh air to feel that. The second thing I noticed, and this is the biggest point I wanted to make, I've been a bit worried about Michael Keane since he signed for us. You know, I'm thinking he came with this potential, with a decent price tag for somebody that hasn't really done it for season after season. You know, he got caught a few times last year, and I think he was possibly could have cleared the lines in one of the goals, you know, because, and that's why I think they've signed Kurt Zouma. He's a big, strong lad to get in there, and he'll clear the lines. You know, if somebody's between him and the ball, they're going over, and that ball's going away. And I think that's what we've craved for at Everton for a long time. I'm not going to sit here and slate Jagielka's age or Baines' age because, like you said, they're here to do. If they're good enough to play, it doesn't matter how old they are. Yeah. If they're still doing it on the pitch, let them do it. But the one thing I noticed about Michael Keane was when, in the second half, Silva changed the team around and he brought Digne on and put him at left-back. Now, as you mentioned before, Bainsey likes to get forward. It's wonderful to see a marauding full-back go forward. But I noticed something in the second half. Michael Keane glanced over once after Digne had come on, and Digne was there. And it was almost like Michael Keane made a double take. He was like, my full-back's there. I've got nothing to worry about. And he stopped worrying about his left side and he concentrated on his game. And for the rest of the game, he was a different player. Completely different player. And I'm hoping that if Digne does get his place in the side, that Michael Keane's game will come on. And I do see it coming on because it was...
Matt, I think of that. When Digne came on, he kind of played more left side of midfield, didn't he? Because Baines was still on the pitch.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it and, you know, Baines had a good understanding of Richarlison, you know, and I thought Richarlison worked extremely hard and getting back and everything else. I think, you know, when they made the substitutions, he brought Digne on there just to give it a little bit more to stop them getting forward because that's where they wanted to come down. They wanted to come down.
Sorry, Sharpie, I meant the Valencia game, not the...
So, yeah, you're right. But I think, as you said before as well, Matt, you know, the thing is now, players know that they've got to fight for a position. They brought in all these players. You know, you look at Mina, the centre-back, coming in. So... obviously, they're looking over their shoulder now and thinking, and Michael Keane, even though he was bought for a lot of money last year, will be thinking, hold on a minute, I've got real competition here I can't afford. So that will hopefully push them on, you know, to better performances week in, week out. You know, listen, as footballers, when you're under threat and you know that they're bringing people in, that you can either go two ways. You can just sink and say, oh, I'm throwing the towel in, or you stand up to it. So competition is good. So hopefully that is one of the reasons why I thought the performances were better at the weekend, because they're fighting for the positions now. Now, I just think that a lot of people write off players far too quickly. Like, they wrote off Schneiderlin. I thought Schneiderlin did well on Saturday. So there's a player in there. And listen, I can understand what people are saying about all the questions, his attitude last year, and he wasn't that good last year. But they start afresh under a new manager. You know, and this new manager has got totally different ideas of maybe how Schneiderlin plays to what Allardyce wanted him, what Koeman wanted him. So this is a fresh slate, and they've all got to say, listen, you've all got the same chance. It's up to you now to show me that I can't leave you out. And I think what he saw on Saturday at Wolves, whatever you think of the opposition or whatever, what he saw on Saturday, those players stood up. You know, and I thought that was probably the best away performance we've seen in a long, long time.
All right, Matt, thanks for the call, pal. Just Sharpie, on the VAR, if the referee looks at the VAR on that tackle, doesn't he see the angle that we all saw, which is him going through the lad's ankle?
Well, again, you know, VAR, you sit down and... listen, John and I could watch an incident and we could have totally different opinions. You know, so how does it go? Who makes the final decision? I know there's three or four watching it kind of thing. Listen, some decisions at times... are really difficult to make, you know, and that's why we say referees have a tough decision. He has one look at it and has a decision. So whether that would have changed, I'm not sure. I still think that would have been a tough one to call.
Why did they wear full kits?
Why did they wear what?
The VAR referees. They wear the full kits, don't they? Right, Tony's a red. We're going to get another quick call in because I called the last caller a red. This one's definitely red. I hope this one's red, otherwise I'm in big trouble. Tony, you there, pal?
Yeah, I'm here. Right, John. Right, Greg.
Tony,
right.
Yeah.
Good to be back, lads. It's been important, hasn't it?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, yeah. Nice to see you. Still in Wavetree, are you?
In Walton now, John.
Oh, you moved to Walton. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Totally forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the first game yesterday, John. I thought he's got the spine there now, and we're looking good. I don't think we come out of first game yesterday. I think we easily breezed past them. You know, they bought some good players, West Ham, but we made them look horny yesterday. And this Cater fella, John, he's some player in, by the way.
Yeah. There's more to come from him, big time. You know, we all know what he was getting last year. He was desperate to come to the club, which was great to see. I think on the present-day market, we've got him for a snip. You know, it's gone crazy through the roof. I think, you know, he's going to get better. You know, it's his first game in the Premiership, and we keep on talking about that. It is different to the Bundesliga and La Liga, you know, wherever you go, it's different. And he made a couple of slip-ups, but you know, not major. But again, he worked, I was watching him off the ball, and he works well. You know, when we're defending, he's a grafter. He puts his foot in. defends well. But when we've got the ball, he's very intelligent. He looks for the space in the little pockets in between the midfield and their back four. And what I think we've got to do a little bit better for him is get the ball to him a little bit earlier than we did yesterday. Because he's very intelligent. So he gets in the area, get that ball into him quickly, as we did for the first goal. You know, but he does. I think he'll make a lot of assists this year. You know, he'd be right up there with the top assist players there, without a shadow of a doubt. Good player, and he'll get better.
Yeah, he looked like he was getting into spaces, John, all the time. He wanted the ball early. He was on someone doing that.
Yeah.
He finds the space. I mean, this year, I mean, we've got the squad now, John. We've got, you know, two players in every position nearly. So,
yeah, they have, yeah.
And we've got that spine. The goalie looks good, John. You know, we've got Van Dijk, Keita and Salah up front. I think if they all start most weeks.
But the manager's bought wisely. You know, he's bought really well, which I have to say, and I've said it time and time, you know, before, the last 20 odd years, more to the 90s, we haven't bought well. We've just, as a club, we've bought players that were very average, you know, percentage-wise. You know, we wouldn't have gotten our reserves in our day. You know, the managers, you know, but this manager, Jürgen, he's bought very wisely. And the people behind him, you know, have done a good job pinpointing and getting the players he wants into the club. You know, you look at the players he's brought in from day one, there's not really a bad player. People can question maybe one or two, you know, but you know, everyone's, whereas before we're going, what?
Yeah,
what about him? What about him?
Well, what about Tony? What do you think? Would you think Henderson will start?
Well, I thought James Milner was superb yesterday.
Mm. He was. He was different class, yeah.
You can't take him out to see. I thought when Alan done well, Jordan looked a bit off the pace still to me. I'd give him a few more weeks, but I wouldn't change the team going forward. I'd leave the team as it is.
Yeah, you're right. You know, he's got so many options, you know, with Fabinho coming, Milner, Anderson, Wijnaldum, Keita. You know, he's there's a lot of play. You know, he can even play Shaqiri as like a forward left side midfield, the way he plays sometimes if he wants to be more offensive. Lallana probably won't get many games for us, to be quite honest, you know. But yeah, you know, it's all about options. He loves the options. And as you said, we had some great options on the bench yesterday.
All right, Tony, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it. 0151 472 0967 if you want to get on board with the Radio City Legends tonight. We'll come on to that one, Aldo, about Lallana, because actually you look at the bench and you look at the options and the different opportunities that Jurgen Klopp might take. Some Liverpool fans will look at that and think, well, where does Lallana actually fit into a three, that midfield across the three as well? Oxlade-Chamberlain will eventually come back into the side as well in a year's time.
That's right, yeah.
People might look at Adam Lallana and think, well, maybe his days are numbered.
Could
when
be.
You look at the other options that are there, we'll take a look at that Liverpool bench, because strength and depth was very much the order of the day as Liverpool comfortably swept past West Ham. The Radio City Legends are here. Get on board too. Hashtag Radio City Legends if you want to do that through social media, and get on board with the phone lines 0151 472 0967.
Call now 0151 472 0967.
An hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Get on board tonight, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends from Radio City and Radio City Talk. After the show, the podcast will be available to download and listen to, and also there's going to be video content too. So Sharpie, that you yawning then?
Yeah.
That'll be on that. Video content which will be available via social media across at Radio City 967. Use the hashtag Radio City Legends if you want to get on board. But of course, pick up the phone and dial 0151 472 0967. Kevin's a red. He's in Litherland. Evening, Kev. You're on with Aldo and Sharpie.
Hi, good evening, gents. Good
to be back. Kev.
Yeah. You know what? It's like we haven't been away. You know what I mean? What's the first thing you talk about, Aldo? The referee. Sharpie, what's the first thing you talk about? The referee.
I know, it wouldn't be the same without with it, yeah. Oh,
God. He was, do you know what? I still look, he's the ref, and you just know what you're going to get. And you're going to get nothing out, Andy Taylor. Nothing whatsoever.
No, absolutely. I totally agree.
And then, Sharpie, I don't think it was a sending off, and it definitely wasn't a sending off for a more than obvious goal scoring opportunity. You know what I mean? You bring VAR in. Jagielka stays on, you bring VAR in, does our third goal stand? Because Lallana looked offside.
He was offside, he was a yard offside, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, I am really an advocate of VAR. It's got to come in. But, like, VAR does make a mistake. It's the people who look at it make a mistake.
That's right.
The World Cup final, was that a penalty? It went to VAR, didn't it? Mm. It was never a penalty.
Yeah. No, I agree, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but no, go back to Liverpool. I tell you what, Joe Gomez, no one's talked about him yet.
No, yeah.
Now, as a right back, I don't think he's here. He got caught out quite a few times last season because I think he's still got his centre half head on. But next to Van Dijk, you're superb. And I think he could be the one going forward. Maybe that's why we haven't shelled out another centre half because he knew what we were getting.
I think you're right. No, I think you're right there, Kev, because we've been talking about Joe for a while. He's played left back, he's played right back. You know, the potential's there to be seen. He's just had so bad injuries at the wrong time, Joe. He's been so unfortunate. Yeah. But I went down by the dugout there for the last 10 minutes of the first half. Now, what
do you think you were getting on?
I was hoping to. And, you know, I was watching Van Dijk. For 10 minutes, he was solidly talking to Joe Gomez. Yeah. It was brilliant to see. You know, like it's old school, like me and Sharpie would do. Because we had four defenders, I'm going back a year, who didn't say boo to a goose in every game. Yeah. No one said nothing to anyone whatsoever. Yeah. But all of a sudden, you know, Virgil van Dijk is brilliant. And he's talking to Joe right through the 10 minutes, you know, about his position and this and that. It's great, you know. Yeah. So with him alongside him, he'll bring Joe out of his shell as well and make him, you know, make him I can't say a better player, but it'd be better for having him alongside him. I think it could be a really good pairing in the future, you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is as well, if you look at it, Trent right back, Robertson left back, we got the young keeper, we could have a defence there. Those five, that could be there for like the next 5-6 years.
Well, we hope it'd be nice, yeah. You know what I mean? Just talking about Robertson to Sharpie, you know, obviously being a Scottish lad, I think he's the best left back in the wing in the league from what I've seen. He's absolutely phenomenal. He really is going forward defensively, the energy he puts in, the commitment, desire, passion, everything. He ticks every box, you know. And you know, what a signing he's been for us.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like I said, we talk about Keith and Milner. You know, everyone stood out, you know what I mean? And don't forget, we got Chamberlain to come back as well.
Yeah, that's a year down the line, though, isn't it?
Tell us, where did I saw the game, I can't remember, memory's going. Milner, where did he play?
Midfield,
yeah.
But didn't Klopp come out and say he wasn't going to be a midfield player? He was going to...
No, he was going to be a midfield player. That was when he changed it from a left back didn't he, last year. That's right. He said, well, he's not going to be a left back no more. He now, 12 months ago, he said he's going to be a midfield player from now on, would you? And he's not at. I think he's just filled in at left back once when we were under the cosh in one of the games. But he's pushed him on there. Mm. He's one of the six. He's been brilliant. You know, and again, he's like Peter Pan, isn't he? You know, he's 31 and he's looking like a 17 year old, you know. Yeah. But he's got a great head on his shoulders. For all the experience, don't forget he started playing at the age of 17 in the top league.
But just but, goes to show when you look after your body when you're playing football, eh, lads?
Well, me and Sharpie were brilliant. There's nothing wrong with having 10 pints on a Saturday night.
Did you just have 10?
Thanks for the call, pal. That's Kevin Litherland. We've got Paul on the line. Paul's a Blues in McGull. Evening, Paul. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Hi, Paul.
Another season start all over, eh?
It does, mate.
Sharpie, we've had many conversations. One of the callers on before talking about, like, obviously Richarlison's come in and looks the bee's knees.
Yeah.
The pre-season we had was poor. And Bolasie has been given a little bit of a disservice, saying he's, you know what I mean, he's not worth the place or whatever. What did Mr. Walcott offer on Saturday, mate?
I thought it was disappointing. I thought it was disappointing.
Consistent for last year, Sharpie. Yeah. I think too many games he went missing.
Yeah, I just think on Saturday, I think he's not been prominent in pre-season. I think he's had a few injury problems. But certainly that's the way we set up. I think that's the way he's going to go forward, with Walcott on one side and Richarlison on the other, and Tosin or whoever in the middle. I think that's going to be his front three. Theo Walcott's got more to give. I think at times last year when he came in, I thought he did reasonably well, scored a few goals. I think there's more to come from him. I just think that game was maybe a little bit early for him, but he hasn't had a lot of games in pre-season, so he'll get better.
Mate. Yeah, I'll have that, Sharpie, but the only thing with me is, and this is obviously being a Bluer made up, he could be out of games last season for like 75, 80 minutes and then pop up with a goal, which is great. But this is Theo Walcott, who was broke into the England team and everything. When he was young, a direct threat and everything. It's not hard for him to go looking for the ball. you know, being a proper threat, especially if Silva wants him to be that. It just seemed to me that, hence the reason we were like constantly down left-hand side. And by the way, as the lad said before, Bainesy, it was back to like 5-6 years ago, clicking little balls into the inside forwards, getting the return, little triangles, Megs, and it was great.
Well, that's when he's got somebody in front of him who he can rely on and trust, you know, he'll get forward more, because the boy Ricarlison was getting back and helping when he had to do defensively. So he probably hasn't had that and has been exposed at times before. But listen, the boy Walcott will come good. I'm sure he will. Okay, wasn't at his best on Saturday. He said last season as well. He's got to settle in. He's got to know the new manager now. As I said to one of the callers before, Paul, this new manager is training them harder, I would say. You know, he's more. I'm not saying stricter in the terms of discipline or anything else, but he knows and they know they've got a job to do. And if they don't do it, they'll be out. I think in the past, maybe some one or two have rested in the laurels and you know, been guaranteed a place. That's not going to be the case with this fella. This fella works them extremely hard and wants them to play to 100% every single game. And I think you'll get your away performances in particular. We talked about it time and time again last year about away from home, garbage kind of thing, surrendering, falling over. I don't think you'll get that under this fella. I think there's a different mentality.
We busted with 10 men. You're spot on. I thought it was one of the best away performances we've done for a while. We busted with 10 men, and you know what I mean? We created a couple of chances. Okay, Jordan pulled off a magnificent save, the one-on-one.
Yeah.
But we still had chances. I mean, Cenk, I won't slag him, but you know, if he does put that into Walcott's path, we're in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the quick one, Aldo.
Yeah.
I will speak to you, mate. Well, my wife, unfortunately, is a red.
Yeah.
Right. It's a birthday today, mate. Could you wish her happy?
What's her name?
Nadine, mate.
What's Nadine?
Nadine.
Nadine, all the best, love you. Have a great time and get that diamond ring tomorrow morning for her.
Yeah. Do you know we're going to pawnbrokers, Aldo?
Excellent, Paul. Thanks for the call.
Cheers, Paul. All the best, mate. Well. See, Paul.
Let's go. We've got more Blues lined up as well. Sharpie, Martin's in Eastham. Evening, Martin. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo.
All right, lads. All right. Welcome to the new season, boys.
Yeah, cheers, Martin.
I'm far more optimistic now than I was about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, Martin, come on. There's only one game going. Just let's take it easy.
Oh, no. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I was disappointed in Wolves, mate. If that's the best Wolves have got and against 10 men, if I was a Wolves fan, I'd be panicking, mate, because they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And as for, well, West Ham are West Ham, mate. They get a nosebleed north of the Watford gap anyway, so... That's it. But what I will say is there a new rule in the Premier League where you foul a player in one position and the referee lets you pick the ball up and put it where you want to put it so that you can score?
Yeah.
Is that a new rule or something?
Do you know what, man? We were talking about this before. No, me and Shabby, I'm not just saying that sometimes you've got to be streetwise as a player. Now, if that happened when I was playing, if I was Liverpool or Sharpie, whatever, you'd have said, hey, get that back. Don't just let them do it. The player's got to see it as well and put the referee under a bit of pressure. Get it back. You're not daft when you see it go 5 yards further on. So the players have got to take a little bit of the blame as well as the referee there.
I think different personalities, mate. I think the likes of Psycho Pat and Ratters and that would have had the referee by the throat saying, we'll show you where it was, mate. Take a look at the difference. But, I mean, I thought, as other calls have said, I thought the movement was great. I thought the work ethic was great. And you can knock Umar in the ass as much as you want, mate. When he came on that pitch, he worked the backside off them defenders again. But my other point is, it's about Ademola Lookman. There's a big queue saying he should be playing. Now, is it just me? Was it not telling that he wasn't even in the squad? I don't think it's anything to do with his ability, mate. I think it's something more to do with him. I don't know if someone's had a whisper with him, or I don't know if it's the fact that he won that World Cup with the under-20s last year. But you've got to look at the difference in attitude between him and DCL.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, did you go to the Valencia game?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I watched him, and he's came on with 10 minutes to go. So everybody knows the speculation we had, Ademola Lookman, should he stay, should he go to Leipzig, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Is he going, is he staying? He comes on with 10 minutes. He gets a great ovation from the crowd for he comes on right away. You're fighting to win over the new manager. So you're thinking, I'm going on here and I'm going to have a right good go.
Yeah.
Okay, I've only got 10 minutes. I wanted 20 minutes, half an hour, but I've only got 10 minutes. But in that 10 minutes, I'm going to show him. And I'll work my socks off. Yeah. And he went on there and he sulked. He sulked for 10 minutes, never broke into a jog. And then all of a sudden there's question marks why he wasn't in the squad for the Wolves game.
That tells you, doesn't it?
That's why.
Yeah.
That is why. The manager's not daft. So if I can see that, do you not think the manager sees that and everybody else sees that? And you think, well, hold on a minute. What's your problem here? Have we got an attitude problem? Yeah. Instead of being, I'm going to try and grasp this opportunity for 10 minutes. I'm going to work my socks off. I'm going to try and get crosses in and everything else. He was sulking. So the manager automatically says, is that the case? Well, yeah. We'll sulk next week because you're not going to play.
Absolutely.
So he's got all the ability in the world, but he needs to find that desire to say, I tell you what, okay, we might have brought Richarlison in. I'm going to fight with him. And that's what I talked about, competition for places. You either can go two ways. You can just go, oh, I can't be bothered now and just throw it off. Or you can rise to it and say, I'm going to challenge for this. And he's got Bolasie in there as well. So he's got to work hard for the chance again to get the manager's trust. I don't think he showed that his desire to get into that starting 11 by the cameo appearance he made against Valencia.
Does he want away, do you think?
Well, he's talking about he wants to go to Leipzig and Leipzig want him.
Yeah.
But the manager said, no, you're not going. So if that's the case, buckle down and get on with it. Never mind that.
Which is right.
We signed you. You've got, and they've offered a price for him by all accounts. But the manager said he wants to stay. He's going to be in his Premier League, whatever it is.
Too much too soon, Sharpie. You know what
too
I mean?
Much it's, too soon. Listen, I stuck
all
up for him.
What you've got to do is look at Umar. Why do
yes.
you think, has it not registered with Adamola why the Everton fans love Umar Niasse?
Mm-hmm.
He had no locker for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? He was basically cleaning the dustbins out.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him. He didn't moan.
Nope.
He got on with it. He worked his way back. And I tell you what, as much as he didn't really get much of a chance. That's why the Everton crowd loved Davy Klaassen. There was no moaning off him.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I want to fight for me place.
Yep.
But it doesn't seem to be there that with this kid.
Listen, the kid, Martin, we've talked about it before, and we talked about the homesickness and all that, but that, not, hold on a minute, it's not homesickness because he's willing to go to Leipzig, which is in Germany, which is further away kind of thing. So it's no homesickness. So I had a lot of sympathy for the boy. I thought it was a young lad coming up to a big club in a big city and it was a different form. I can fully understand that, having done it myself. But I just thought against, you know, the last pre-season game, I'm thinking, go on, give the manager a problem. You know, are you going to pick me or not? But as you quite rightly said, he goes to Wolves, he's not even in the squad. Okay, the speculation starts again. Why is it? I think he just had to look at that cameo performance that he played in the last pre-season game. I think that answers why he wasn't in the squad for Saturday.
All right, Martin. Yeah. Martin, just a quick one before you go, pal. Just got a text in from Liam. He says, talking about Richarlison hitting the ground running, he says, can't judge from the Wolves game anything other than Richarlison has hit the ground running. Could he get 25 goals this season? Mm. As a fan, Martin, how many goals would you expect from Richarlison this year?
Looking at where he's playing, because he's not playing as the out-and-out striker, Cenk Tosun is our striker at the minute. I would expect, I think he can get between 15 and 20. Mm. I don't know what Sharpie thinks, right?
The league goals or league and cup?
I think league.
Okay.
Mm. I agree with you. I think he is good enough. I think it'll be interesting, you know, as he gets. His goals dried up from it at Watford after a spell, and his form, and I don't know if it was a fallout or whatever, but I think this manager knows him well and he'll get the best out of him. I think he enjoys playing for him. I think I'd say 15 goals. You're looking at 15.
If he stays fit, definitely. 15,
yeah, 15 and, plus, yeah. and then 15
league
plus,
goals,
hopefully, yeah.
yeah.
All right, Martin, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it. 01514720967 into the final five of Legends for tonight. Of course, back for the new season, Mondays and Thursdays from 6:30 on Radio City and Radio City Talk. We've got Kenny on the line. Kenny's a red. Evening, Kenny. You're on with Aldo and Sharpie.
Hello, boys. Hi, good
Kenny.
To talk again.
Hello, Kenny.
How are we, lads? Okay.
All right, mate, yeah. Sound.
As I say, in those early days, John, or basically for the both of our teams, but do you know what? I'm obviously, I just want us to both do well. I mean, obviously, I don't want Everton to win, but I think it's great that we're talking. and Everton are doing, Everton look like a bit of a team this season because I'm sick to death of Manchester running away with things. And I just think it's good for the city.
Yeah.
But I think for long last, it looks like we've got two decent teams, to be honest with you. But I think it's going to be a good season, to be honest with you. Us fighting for City, and obviously United and all that. But I think Everton.
I think both teams will do better than what they did last year, points wise. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Obviously, we've got a good squad. Everton have got a good squad. Whether Everton can do it, I mean, I don't know. But I think it's just positive all round that it looks like it's going to be a good season. I mean, obviously for the two of us, and
we hope so, because there'll be easier phone calls right throughout the season to be a free.
But it's all about opinions, you know what I mean? I know Sharpie, he was on the referee, but I mean, I know the refs had a bit of stick today, but I genuinely did think it was a red on there. Sharpie, I'm afraid.
What did you think about the Manchester fella yesterday at Anfield?
I mean, I don't like things because I am a ref, you know what I mean? But he doesn't do himself any favours.
No, he doesn't do Liverpool any favours. Never. Never. Honestly, I'm telling you. I've watched him all the time. He only gives.
I think you're harsh on him. I think he's
all right. His wife's a Man United fan as well. There you go.
Thanks for the call, pal.
Take it easy, boys.
And you, Tyler.
The Legends, of course, are back on Thursday. But before you go anywhere, we don't have time to do the full quiz. We have got a chance to do the mystery voices. Who are these players?
Hold on a second.
Have a listen.
So is it first in, first?
First in.
Right.
Who's this?
Yeah, it was huge. We wanted him to start the game. We wanted him to be the captain. So that was disappointing for us also.
Who's that?
Yeah, it was huge. We wanted him to start the game. We wanted him
Mickey Mellon. Strachan.
No.
So that was disappointing.
Paul Lambert.
For us also.
Stevie Nicol.
Is that Bumper?
Absolutely. We've got one more.
You know, I think you maybe get
Alan Stubbs.
Stubbsy. There you go.
Hey, look at that. I should have got Nicol, to be fair.